May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A very strange meeting took place at the Google headquarters in the fall of 2013, right in the heart of the Silicon Valley. On one side of the conference room table where this meeting took place sat several of the highest level executives of Google, men and women that were designers of Google Glass, the Google Watch, the people behind Gmail and Android notifications. And on the other side of that table sat eight shaved-headed Tibetan monks. In the middle sat Thich Nhat Hanh. Now, for those of you who don't know, Thich Nhat Hanh is a Buddhist monk, a Zen master, a poet, and a peace activist. In 1967, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. nominated him for the Nobel Peace Prize, calling him an apostle of peace and nonviolence. Thich Nhat Hanh was in his mid-80s when this conversation at Google headquarters took place. And they sat for 2.5 hours talking about several things. Now, the monks had come prepared. You see, they had brought a list of demands for Google. Thich Nhat Hanh was concerned that the voracious appetite of capitalism was now coming for us on the inside, eating away at our ability to pay attention through the little devices that sit right at our fingertips. He was concerned that technology's drive to maintain constant engagement was in conflict with the family relationships that he wanted to sustain, in conflict with the loneliness that people experience. That constant, immediate, and satisfying distraction were wreaking havoc in people's lives. But at the top of Thich Nhat Hanh's agenda was one very simple request, an invitation, really, to every single designer, engineer, and executive that sat with him at that table. He invited them to come on a 7-day-long silent retreat at Plum Village, where his meditation center is located in France. He saw that experience of silence as a prerequisite for genuine conversation. None of the people around the table took him up on the offer, except for one. I'll return to his story in a bit. Now, talk about unexpected meetings. Today, it seems as though the lectionary planners didn't want us to forget about another unexpected meeting, the one that took place between Jesus and his disciples after the crucifixion, an account near the end of the Gospels. Two very similar stories, post-resurrection scenes from different Gospels, appear back-to-back in this year's lectionary, beginning last week and continuing today. "Peace be with you," we heard last week, not once, not twice, but 3 times in the Gospel of John, in front of an unbelieving gathering where Thomas the doubter received new sight. "Peace be with you," we hear again today, as if for the first time, joining the disciples once again in this surprising meeting. Jesus sits down to break bread and broiled fish with them in today's scene, acting as if nothing at all were the matter, as if seeing a man once dead was not a big deal, nothing to be concerned about. So what does this peace mean for them, this gathered crowd of disciples who were soon to build a movement called church, a community full of God's grace and power? First, we can gather that peace is proclaimed in this gospel to people who are not at peace. This was a group that was afraid, unsure what would come next, still grieving the loss of their teacher and friend. The peace that we proclaim as the Christian community is for people who are not at peace, for a world that needs to hear a message of that peace. Secondly, this peace that we talk about in our Gospels, this peace that we talk about Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, is proclaimed by a man familiar with the lack of peace, a man whose very body had witnessed violence very recently, who still wore the scars on his own body when he proclaimed it to the gathered disciples. You see, when we proclaim peace, we are also imperfect instruments of that peace, and that's okay. We all bear wounds, and we all come with our own baggage, proclaiming a peace that we don't always feel. And Jesus, in this passage, shows us that that is just fine. So what might this peace mean for us today? If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to offer you a few suggestions to take home with you today. The first is very simple. Turn off your phone every once in a while. Thich Nhat Hanh has a point to make here. Technology claims to provide us with what we want at the touch of a finger, but it knows very little about what we actually need. There are great advantages in using it, of course. It's a necessity in modern life. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be helpful if we also developed the skills necessary not to run away, to stay with a feeling, any feeling, rather than seeking the immediate escape and satisfaction that checking our phones sometimes provides? Turn off your phone every once in a while. Secondly, do something that will help you listen to yourself more deeply. You see, turning off your phone is not enough. You have to replace that action with something. And prayer practices in the church vary widely. Meditation and practices of prayer can have an impact on your sense of self, on your ability to sit with yourself and to listen more deeply to how God is speaking in your life. Don't try to do it all. Just pick one and try it out. And don't worry if you don't do it right. That's perfectly fine. The point is to just try. Thirdly, go somewhere where you can listen deeply to other people. It would be helpful if they were people that aren't like you. Now, by going somewhere, I don't mean Facebook conversations. Those tend to go off the rail pretty quickly. And I don't mean conversations with the relative you disagree with, because that also goes off the rails very quickly. It's tempting, you see, when we notice how noisy our life is, when we try to take action in that regard, to simply turn off our phones and escape in the complete opposite direction. But so much more is possible. So much more awaits you if you replace that with meaningful connection. Seek out spaces where you come face to face with your neighbors. And this Thursday evening at 7 p.m., roughly 400 of your neighbors will gather at Christ the King Lutheran Church on Walnut Street to talk about what it is that concerns them, what it is that they're passionate about, to tell stories about what we could do together. We committed about 15 members to go to informational sessions about this Wake County Sponsors effort over the last month and a half, and we got about 30 people to go. So there's interest here at St. Paul's in this. I bet we can get another 30 to go on Thursday. We are hoping to get as many people as we can to just sit and listen. Be present, be the peace of Christ in that room, and hear what we can do together. In this deeply divided world, this is a great opportunity. There is so much good for you in store in the life-giving challenge of listening to people who are different than you and yet who want to know you, who want to learn to love this world more deeply and more fully with you. So turn off your phone every once in a while, go deeper into your own spiritual life, and go out proclaiming that peace into a world that needs to hear it. It sounds so simple, but it may be some of the most challenging work we could ever do. Now, the man who took Thich Nhat Hanh on that offer of a meditation retreat is Tristan Harris. He was the person at Google who called attention to how technology hijacks people's attention, manipulating them for the sake of profit. And so he was named their design ethicist. And he tried to change the organization from the inside. And he's one of the people that helped bring Thich Nhat Hanh to Google that fall of 2013. And he is the only person who took him up on his offer. And it changed his life forever. He left Google in 2016 to establish his own nonprofit, aptly named Time Well Spent, an organization that works on public advocacy, developing ethical standards for technology design, design education, policy recommendations, and the like. So what could you do if you turned off your phone every once in a while, if you went deeper into your walk with God, and by doing so, develop the skills necessary to be the peace of Christ in this world of ours today? May we all have the grace necessary to take hold of Christ's peace and to let that peace flow in and through us to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Amen.